Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is what? It is a good word this morning. God has given us a great word, and I am so excited about starting over this year with our Word of God. I still am in awe of God and His patience to allow us to read His entire Word in 1 year. Hallelujah. We just completed the entire Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. We completed on December 31st, and we are in the beginning again. Yesterday, we started in Genesis chapter 1, and today we will be in Genesis chapter 5. So we started off the new year, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm excited. So bear with your giddy host this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, reading your Word and praying over those that are sick and shut in, those that may not be able to comprehend your Word but would love to hear it. So, Father God, we are praying that those that hear it, that they get something from it. For your word is true, O God. And every day as we wake up and hear your word, may it add blessings. May it add grace. May it add mercy to the life of those that hear it. Father God, I lift up the sick and the shut in today. For you know who is suffering, O God. You know who is going through, O God. Ask a light to shine on them in this year of 22, oh God, this 2022 year. We ask your light to shine upon your children, oh God, that they may see you, they may know you, they may get personal with you and with the Christ who is Jesus our Savior. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And Father, please let the words of my mouth and from my humble heart be acceptable to your holy sight. For Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. And without you, I cannot do this. And so, Lord, I lift up your holy word, giving it back to you and ask you to help me to explain it, to see it, to feel it, to touch it, and not to be just a reader, but a believer and a doer and a willing worker for your kingdom. In Jesus' precious, holy, and divine name, I pray, believing and trusting in every word that I read, that I teach, and that I hear as well. Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. In an overview, we went through Genesis chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, Matthew chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 2. And we started in our psalm and our proverb as well, starting in chapter 1 of Psalm, and as well as chapter 2 of Psalm and chapter 1 of Proverbs, up to chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse number 9, on yesterday. For those that just join us on Friday, we do 3 days of Word. We do all Old Testament or all New Testament. Normally it's all Old Testament on Friday for 3 days. So we'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday on Friday in the Old Testament. And then on Sunday, we'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the New Testament, and probably either a psalm or a proverb or both may be done also on Sunday, depending on how long the Old Testament word is on Friday. And the reason we do that is I do not do a blog on Saturdays. It is my day of rest. And I used to blog every day, 7 days a week, until I got convicted by God that even he rested one day of the week and that I needed to rest on Saturday mornings and to do some sleeping in, which is not always what I do because I have other obligations, but I do try to get some form of rest on Saturdays. And it's just my personal time that I spend with God as well. So just kind of giving you an overview, what we do on Moving Forward is we are a Bible reading show. We read the Bible. We have some commentary from different pastors. I may give a quote from Dr. Stanley or from Dr. Evans or from some other pastor that God gives me. Even it may, and every day we quote my sister in Christ, Carolyn, has written a blog, and it's Carolyn's Gift. And what she does is every day she gives a word to get you through the day. And pretty much 9 out of 10 times, that word just happens to fit in to our lesson. So we thank God for my sister, Sister Carolyn. I thank God for the mothers of this blog, church, I call it. And that is Mother Bowie and Mother Bowie and Mother Rita, our Mother Jean and Mother Rita. God for them as well. And we have some evangelists and some prophets that also call in. So, and if you are one of those bifold ministers and would like to read, give me a buzz, DM me, and we can talk. And so I thank God again for all of you. So let's get into the word. And today we are in Genesis chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 22. And it says in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Lived 105 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enoch lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enoch lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalia. After he begot Mahalia, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalia lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalia lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalia were 895 years and he died. Jared lived 160 years and begot Enoch. We know Enoch, this Enoch, there's two. Because, you know, sometimes folks get the Enoch mixed up. Because Cain had an Enoch too. And when we go back to Genesis chapter 4, you know, we understand that's where Cain killed Abel and said, am I my brother's keeper? And we want to all say to him, yes, you are. But he had some of the same names as, especially Enoch was one of the same names that Cain named his son. And it says, Cain knew his wife and she conceived a boy, Enoch. Different Enoch than this Enoch. This Enoch is special. This Enoch is special to God. And as we read the word, you'll understand how this Enoch, Jared's Enoch, is special. And so let's start back at verse number 18 of chapter 5 of Genesis. And it says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. One more time, so we catch this. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then we go on to say Methuselah lived 167 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. 969 was Methuselah's longest living man in the word. And then it goes on to tell us, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. So Noah's dad lived 777 years. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he lived 500 years before he got children. Think that through. But then men were living for 900 years, too. I don't know what to do with myself for 900 years. But Noah had an assignment. And this is what it says in chapter 6 of Genesis. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And I was watching, as y'all know, I love National Geographic. And I was watching a National Geographic thing, and it talked about giants, and they have found giant bones, these humongous heads and bodies. And so there were giants, and they are starting to now, God is revealing some of these things. God is starting to show those that are academic, from academia, that his word is true. And then when he says, literally, there were giants. There were very large people on this planet at some point in time. Okay? So this word is true. Historically, it's true. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just man, was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt of all flesh, and corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower level, second and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive, and you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And I tell you, it's hard when you don't do what God tells you to do when God tells you to do it. Sometimes we can be a little hard-headed and not do what we're asked to do in the time we're asked to do it. We got to get busy. I know I do. There's so much I still got to do that God has asked me to do. I'm still working and trying to be like Noah, trying to build that ark that God has called me to build, that ministry God has called me to do. And it has been very difficult. So I can imagine what Noah was going through as he tried to build this ark. 120 years, y'all. Think that through. It took him 120 years to do this assignment. And we whine and complain about going to church on Sunday. Just imagine if God told you you had to build an ark and it was going to take you 120 years to do so. You'd be whining and crying. Oh, God, singing the choir today. Oh, it's my Sunday. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I got to do all this stuff because it's your assignment. What? I got to preach? I got to read the word? I got to teach? Oh, come on. The newest movie, the newest dance, the newest this, the newest that, you all Gucci. Come on now. We got to stop. And then, of course, we judge it. Judging everything, judging everybody, talk about everybody, talk about everything. Instead of lifting up, we tearing down. I wonder why folks don't want to be Christians and why folks don't want to be in the house of God. We got to change our ways so that we can walk with God, so we can be like an Enoch, for God took him, when God, that God would take us, that we would just, where it happened, God took him. But God didn't, it didn't say he died, did it? 200, and he died. And he died. And he died. Tells you all through, and he died. And he died. But when he got to Enoch, it does not say he died, does it? It says, for God took him. We got to want God to take us. And as we go into Psalms 2:7-12, and for those that are just joining us, there are life examples and life lessons that Dr. Stanley has in this Bible. If time permits, we'll come back to and read all the examples and lessons at one time. But we need to get our scriptures in today, and that's the priority, is reading the Word of God. And as we continue, it says in Psalms chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. Proverbs 1, chapters, verses 10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And we can put that, my daughter, my children. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like souls, whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Did y'all catch that? Let's read that one more time. But they lie in wait for their own blood. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 18 and 19. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. But we all know that the Word of God tells us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Got to be careful of what we after, what we want, what, you know, and who you hang with. Be careful of the friends you keep, because you got to understand everybody is not your friend. Everybody does not have your best interest at heart. You got to be careful of who you bring into your inner circle. Who do you bring into your life, into the lives of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Who are you? Who's in your circle? Who are you following after? Who are you running toward? Be careful of the company you keep, because you want to one day walk with God. Matthew chapter 3, And it says, and in those days, John the Baptist came preaching. And this is where our title for our lesson comes from this morning, is from Matthew chapter 3, which I absolutely love. And you'll understand why as we get through Matthew chapter 3. So join me in Matthew chapter 3. And again, I am coming out of the New King James Version. And it says this, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And when I first read this as a child, I would say, you know, raising my hand in Sunday school and saying, he's eating bugs. He eats bugs and honey? Ew. You know, you have that little kid moment. Ew. He's eating bugs and honey. Because at that time, I remember seeing, we called them grasshoppers, but we know that they're a form of locust. Ew. Child's reaction. But again, high in protein. So he got his protein and he got what he needed in the honey. So he had sweets and it. But that's what it said. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Because remember, he is a rabbi. His father was Zechariah. And his mother was Elizabeth. So he has known the Savior since in vitro. This is the one that leapt in his mother's womb. Because it was his position. He's 6 months older than Christ. And his was to prepare the way. Continue, it says, and when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said, them brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His renowned fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, for he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? Because remember, they're cousins. John and Jesus are cousins. There's a familiar relationship going on here. And so John knows who he is, and Jesus knows who John is. And they each have assignments. John's assignment is to prepare the way for Jesus. And Jesus was, and to baptize Jesus, so that those that are with him will know who he is. And those that are around will know who he is, because this is our word for this morning. But Jesus answered and said, they are permitted to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, this is one of them shout words right here, behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and all lightning upon and alighting upon him. And suddenly, can y'all say suddenly? Suddenly, a voice came from heaven saying, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That is our word for this morning. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God was pleased with his son. And anyone who was standing there at this baptism heard the voice of God come from heaven and say, this is my beloved son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And now we'll go back and get in some life lessons from Dr. Stanley this morning. And his quotes are so awesome. I just love me some Dr. Charles Stanley. You know, I just feel in my heart that this man loves God completely and totally. He is a God-loving man. And his words are so true. And, you know, I read his words because it's some of the same things that I think. And I'm like, wow, God, thank you. Thank you. And thank you. And as we go back into Genesis chapter 6, life lesson is this. The Lord, and this is the scripture, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Our sins distress the Creator who made us because it stands against his very nature. God will always judge sin. He cannot merely ignore it. God is judging our sins today. He's judging us today. And I can tell you some of us are lacking. There's some things in my life that I know I'm lacking and got to get right with God. Because I keep it real. I'm not going to sugarcoat like I'm perfect because I'm not. But I ask God every day, Lord, give me strength to do what you call me to do. Help me to be better today than I was yesterday. We got to keep trusting God to guide us and lead us and show us the way that he wants us to go. Hallelujah. Noah's obedient and dry. Nothing indicated an approaching storm. Still, since Noah believed God, he prepared for the downpour. God promised his friends must have mocked him, but he built an ark, Genesis 6. Obedience is the cornerstone of our faith in God. While Noah's obedience led to God's blessing and reward, the disobedience of his contemporaries led to their destruction. At the time of the flood, the physical salvation of mankind fell to Noah and his willingness to be used by God. The ark merely foreshadowed the eternal salvation from sin that is ours through Jesus Christ. Just as Noah's faith saved him and his family, so our faith saves us today. As we are told in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is it the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Building the ark did not bring Noah any closer to the Lord, but his obedience and faith in God did, and it kept him safe and dry. Do we want to be safe and dry today? We got to be obedient to God. And life lessons in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. He did everything that God commanded him to do. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells. He says, Noah displayed his righteous character by doing exactly as God had commanded him, even though building the ark must have seemed ridiculous to his neighbors, and his obedience saved his life. Because remember, it didn't rain. It didn't rain at that time. Rain, they know anything about rain because the groundwater came up. And it was the water from the ground that gave us everything they needed, grass, everything. It was no rain. And they're like, oh, what is he doing? You know, we don't have water like that. It don't rain. It don't, you know, they probably didn't even know the word rain. Had no idea water came from the sky because it always came up from the ground. They had fresh water. They had the sea. They had everything. But it all came up from the ground. So they didn't know anything about water coming down from heaven. It's like, what? Well, nothing about that. Did not have rain. And God gave us everything they needed. He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. He gave us everything we needed. But then let's continue in our Proverbs and our Psalm words. And in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have forgotten you." The writer of Hebrews quotes this verse to show how far superior Jesus is to the angels. Hebrews 1 and 5, we have a Savior who is fully one of us, even as he is fully God. And that is why we can trust him fully. And we're going to go over really quick to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Again, join me in Hebrews chapter 1. I'm getting there. I have fumble fingers today. There we go, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 5. And it says, "For which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son? Today I have begotten your father, become your father. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son." And again, when he, and this is verse 6, and again, when he brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all God's angels worship him." In verse 7, and about the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his servants a fiery flame. But to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you established the earth and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Now, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation?" And this is what it says, Jesus Christ lived on the earth to display the image of God in history. His life, death, and resurrection provide our hope and salvation. And that is from Dr. Tony Evans. And if you have his study Bible, there are videos that you can watch that are very, very good. So if you ever get a chance to purchase this Bible, which I hope, if it's God's will, we will be in next year. But as far as this year, we are in Charles Stanley one more year. And then we will go back and forth sometimes between Dr. Stanley and Dr. Evans' Bibles. So that is just a word, and that was from the Christian Standard Bible when we went to Hebrews chapter 1. And as we go over to Matthew chapter 3, and some life lessons, and it says this, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Genuine repentance leads not only to a change in attitude, but also to a change in behavior. Merely feeling sorry for some wrong action does not constitute repentance. We got to repent. There's a lot of repentance we need to do in life. You know, how do you treat your fellow man? You know, how do you treat the people that you care about, the people that you love, the people that mean something in your life, and how do you treat the perfect stranger? You know, and every time I think about, I always think about the Good Samaritan. He was looking, everybody, all the religious folks other day went to the other side, ignored this poor man, beaten, practically naked. On the road, they drove and went around because didn't want to help that. Now, we don't know what's going on there. Don't know who that is. That might be a trap. Oh, I'm running late for church. Got to go. Somebody will help him. Are you the somebody? It was a Samaritan. And this man helped a complete stranger who didn't look like him, paid his bills while he recuperated, and didn't ask for anything in return. That's a godly man. That's a godly man. That's a godly person. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It says, while he walked this earth, Jesus submitted himself to the law, to doing the whole will of his Father. Because he completely fulfilled the law, believers also have fulfilled the law through him. Not ourselves, but not by our might, but by his spirit. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he sent his son for us. And he let us know in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And it said, God the Father loved Jesus the Son and publicly stated his pleasure in Christ's righteous manner of living. Yet it also pleased God to send his Son to the cross on our behalf. He was bruised for our iniquity. Isn't that what it says? And we're going to go over to Isaiah chapter 53, which every time I read, I just get filled up, because I know that my Savior died for me, that he took all that pain, everything. He did it for us because he had to. No, because he wanted to, because he loved us like that. How much love do you have that you would give up your life for somebody sinful and just downright nasty? But he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for us. So let's go again. Isaiah 53. Verse number 10. And we'll probably go a little bit farther to make sure we get it all down in context. And this is what it says. We're going to go up to verse number 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin. Whew. See. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgression. And then we go back up to verse number 4 and to verse number 6. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded. Say that with me. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I have just read Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Not quite in that order, but I've read all those verses. Blessed because God gave his son for our sins, for our iniquities. And he told us in his word, he opened the heavens and let everybody who was in the vicinity of that baptism know who Jesus was. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And that is our word for this morning. As always, before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. If there's anyone that has a word from God I would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone or your device. Our call-in number is 213-943-3597. You can listen in on that phone number as well. It is a call-in and a listen-in number. Again, 213-943-3597. And please tell friends and family about this show, that it is Bible study. It is an opportunity while you're getting dressed in the morning for work to listen to the Word of God. And so that's all I just say. Spread the word. And this is what our sister in Christ has for this morning for our motivational moment. And it says this, when we start thanking God, even in trials, it will turn burdens into blessings. Keep your faith close to your heart, and God will provide. Have a motivated Monday, family. Have a wonderful day. As Sister Carolyn said, keep your faith close to your heart, and God will provide. And let's go back to the whole thing. I just want one more reading because it's just that good, and I hope that it does something to your heart as it has done to mine this morning. And again, family, when we start thanking God, even in trials, because we all go through, it will turn burdens into blessings. Keep your faith close to your heart, and God will provide. Have a motivated Monday, family. Have a I got God on my side Monday. Have a I'm going to go where God tells me to go Monday. Have a absolutely awesome Monday. And know that God loves you as much as you love him. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life and the lives of your family. For God is great and greatly to be praised. And have again, as our sister in Christ said, a motivated Monday as we move forward through our day and through our week. It's time to go to work, family. And who do we work for? We work for God. Because I know it's kind of cliche, but we say it anyway. You might be the only Jesus some people see. Let them see the love and his light shine in you. Because there's a new you in 22. So some of you are just going back to work. Let folks see the new you. Let them see how you shine and your light shines for the Lord. Have a blessed day, family. It is what? A wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap. I'm moving forward. Love you all. Be blessed.